All right, welcome back to episode 14 of the Slide In Podcast. I'm Braden Anderson, alongside...
Hey, y'all.
The one and only Kelly Gallup. Today's episode is brought to you by slidein.com. It's a little online business that's associated with us. Yeah, we got a bunch of hats, including the one I'm wearing on my head, if you like the camo thing. Got a ton of hats online, all sorts of merch, materials, everything.
I actually thought that
slidein.com.
Oh, is that that logo?
Yeah, I got the stickers here, patches, everything you want.
Somebody wrote it. They said, "What?" No, I said, "No rush, no queen, no dead." And so the guy, I read some guy says, "So what did you like? What do you like? Anything but that."
Yeah. Ted Nugent.
Ted Nugent, Brothers, Blackfoot, all kinds of Southern rock.
Turns out anything, there's a lot of good music from that era.
Oh, there was tons. And I can stand. I can take a little bit of Rush. A little bit. Don't like Styx. Don't like Bowie. Don't like Floyd. A lot of ones I don't like.
I
love Boston.
You liked Jerry Garcia Band and Merle Saunders.
That's not Jerry. That's different.
No,
that is not the same.
We've argued about this.
Yeah, that is great. Is great.
We'll go to the grave that it's great.
Me too.
Yeah,
Merle.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
And those guys.
Merle and Jerry.
Oh, Merle Haggard. Oh yeah.
All right, so I'm flying blind today. My computer just took a crap this morning. The screen won't turn on. So. We're a little blind, but we've got a couple of things we need to accomplish in today's episode.
By the way, he was not very polite on the phone to Apple.
I thought I was pretty polite.
No, you weren't. You're kind of a dick.
Well, until I got frustrated and then I hung up. But whatever, you know, it's my job getting
in respond, the way. Don't react.
Oh, those are good life lessons. All right, so first thing we need to do is pick a winner from our Instagram contest.
That's why I had this thing out.
So, we ran a contest where comment on our post and tag two friends, and we're going to pick a random comment who's going to get a fly, custom fly tied by Kelly, whatever.
I lost the thing you put on there.
I'll find it.
Do that.
Custom fly and a fly box.
And 2 weeks vacation.
2 weeks.
Oh, just kidding.
All right. So. I'm going to scroll down so we get, I think we got over 1,500 comments, which is awesome. It's great to see everybody wants a fly tied by you for some reason. Just going to go down and make sure
we got... like scud patterns.
Well, I think they get to pick. That was kind of the whole deal. It has to be one of Kelly's flies. You're not making him tie one of Ross's or something like that.
Wouldn't know how.
All right, we're almost to the bottom here. Making sure all the comments are
how many were there? 15, really?
1,500 plus. We did this before, and somebody locked their phone again. We're going to videotape it, so we'll throw it in so we know it's all legit.
Could this get more boring? Chop, you're already an hour late.
I think this is what they call good podcasting. Yeah, somebody might have forgotten some SD cards in Bozeman. Had to do quite a bit of driving this morning. Blame Kelly.
My heart bleeds.
All right, we're getting close to the bottom, I think.
Holy molio. Why don't you just sit there and film yourself flicking?
What?
Flicking.
I heard people are making a lot of money doing that these days.
All that right. Must be the bottom. No, we still got it.
I hope y'all are enjoying this. This is fun.
I did it before where I was going back and forth, and I tried to hit the...
Yeah, do a bunch of those.
To the bottom, all the way. Just saw.
And then let's just stop on. Oh, hey, oh.
We'll just do this.
This is great. All right.
Get that thing. Get out of there.
All right.
So there's. You can see there's a bajillion of them.
There's a bunch, and they're not sorted by most recent. They're totally random.
All right. So here we go.
All right. What we got?
Gavin McFadden.
Let's make sure that was... Nope, it was... He was tagged in it, so it's G...
Oh.
There we go. That one. G-I-A-N-B-A. John Bailey. Cool. You're a winner. We'll contact you. Well, that was fun. Thanks for playing along, guys.
Oh, shit, was that a pain.
Sure, that was good podcasting. Well, for the seven of you that are still watching...
I'd hate to see bad podcasts. I hope you can cut some of that.
For the seven of you that are still watching, we've got a great show for you today. like I said, I'm flying a little blind. I've got some notes of what we were planning on doing, but one of the things we wanted to jump into is a question from one of our guides, Nathan Anthony, two first names. Love you, Nate. Michigan guy. He sent in a question that was basically...
Very creative tire.
Very creative tire. Yeah, great tire. Go follow him on Instagram.
I think it's frogs rock.
Nathan Anthony something. We'll find it.
It's his frog that we were doing in Chile when we got that giant blow up.
Yeah, it's a great frog. The Rippet, I believe he calls it. Super fun. I had some great days frogging with him.
We don't sell him, so if you're looking for him.
Yeah, maybe hit him up on Instagram if you want some.
I don't think he sells them.
I don't know if he does either, but maybe he'll
it's not
send you a picture. I don't know. Frogging's fun. He does it a lot. He's kind of on that Russ Madden train of topwater stuff.
Daytime.
Daytime topwater, which hard for people to believe. That's definitely a... Nate's question is about kind of client expectations. That top water thing is something where you need to have really low expectations. I mean, it doesn't work all the time. And then when it's on, it's on. I didn't believe it really worked that well. We went out with Nate one afternoon or evening, and we must have rolled, I don't know, 10 to 15 really solid brown
big fish. Yeah.
Big fish. Okay, so Nate's
That's
question.
That's no different than mousing or anything.
Yeah.
Mousing, night mousing. It's always,
low expectations, hunting big.
A lot of blow-ups.
Yeah, a lot of blow-ups. I find they actually ate the frog pretty well that day. But whatever. Okay, so Nate's question. Hey, I think a good topic to talk about would be the grind and effort it takes sometimes. Now, sometimes fishing is just fishing, and what you have to do is English sometimes leaves something to be desired. Maybe I can't read. Fishing is just fishing and what you have to do to figure it out. Switching fly or tactics change presentation. I promise this is what he sent. So his question is basically, he wants us to...
About the grind.
Yeah, discuss the grind and how it's not always easy. And sometimes clients come out here and they get in a boat with a guide and think they're just going to catch a million fish. But... What's the old saying, guide, not God?
Yeah, if you're that cocky. But there was, what was that other guy that wrote in and he said, how about say something good about the guides or the clients?
Yeah.
I just took a little memory trip down. I've been, when I quit guiding, I don't know how many, it was 40 some years, but I get asked, There's a saltwater question that everybody on earth, asks. Do all saltwater guides yell? And do any of your guides yell? That's one question. But the question I got frequently was, you must have a ton of guide stories about shit clients. And I don't, and it doesn't matter who's asked me. I says, no, truly, I've had one bad client in history. And I would do anywhere from 100 to 200 days a year for decades and decades, almost 40, 45 years or something. And I truly never did. I had one guy, and I've had clients that it was a push to...
We're going to let the dog in. We'll be right back.
That dog should be...
See if she come around here.
Put in the back room. She will, but then she'll just want
to... Ellie, come here.
You can cut this stuff out of here, right?
Yeah, I'll cut this. Ellie, hey, get over here.
30 seconds max. Go lay down.
Is that back door open?
Yeah, go lay down. I see you. I know. Go lay down. Yeah.
Did you see that comment? All right, we're back.
We're back.
Had to let the dog in. Did you see the comment that said, please show the border collies? We love to see the dogs. There's something like if you...
Kids and dogs, man.
Yeah.
You don't film with them.
Wow. Some people like... They say it's something like no like worthwhile kids, podcast doesn't get interrupted by a dog at some point.
Well, that she'll do it every 30 seconds.
A couple times.
But anyway, I was saying that I only had that one... I had customers that were not the best to deal with, but I mean, like this is a two-part question kind of... answer, but I'm saying that I only had one bad customer, and I literally rode him off the river in 30 minutes backwards. I went from 37 degree. And I met him at breakfast, and he started out by telling me his name and the fact that he was 42, never worked a day in his life, and didn't plan on it. I said, like, great, you can buy breakfast. I thought it would break some ice, right?
Yeah.
Stone-faced my ass and just looked at me, and I go, well, you know, you got a great day. And I said, I was down at the river last, it was on the Pier Marquette Steelhead Day. Whew, late 70s, really early 80s maybe. And, you know, doing our own shuttles and stuff like that. And I was doing 37 to Gleason's, or not Gleason's, to Green Cottage, I mean, before there was a ramp at Green Cottage. And I says, I was down last night, and it was down by Doc Green's, and I said, there's just, man, it just piled full of, I've never seen so many steelhead in a run. I mean, there had to be 100 fish in this 150 yards of water, right? And I said, we're just going to blow through. I said, we're going to start at dark. We're going to just go right to this run, and we're going to be there all day. I mean, I said, I've never seen it this full. We rode down the river, and it's freaking dark. I mean, it's dark. I'm looking around for branches. I know the river pretty well, but,
yeah.
And I said, and he goes, huh, I don't see any of these fish. I says, yeah, me either. I can't hardly see them. It's dark. I mean, and then the sun starts to come. We got to row about, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes at best. And so we get down, and now we are 50 yards above where we're pulling into. And it's a giant sand flat. And you're going to take a left and a right, and it's getting a little, then we're going to bank out right on the shore there. And I'm going along. Now you can see.
Yeah.
But you're in this much, it's just this skinny little flat of just sand. I mean, Michigan sand everywhere, right?
Right.
And he goes, yeah. He said, I sure don't see all these fish you were talking about. He's not being fun about it. You know, you can tell an ass from a, you know, ferret. And I go, well, we're not there yet. And he goes, yeah, I've heard that guide shit before. And I don't mind banter, and I don't mind, you know, a lot of things, but I kind of went, I don't like this guy. And
I wouldn't either.
Swung the boat around in a circle, and I just started humping those oars. And we go around that curve, and as we do, we're at the head of this pool. I mean to tell you, 30 steelhead just blow out of the run, and they're hitting the banks. We're in shallow water, but there's a bunch. It's right where it dumps, right?
Right.
And I mean, there's this big willow on the right. It looked like 1,000 ducks were trying to get out of that. And it's just fish running everywhere. Man, you can see them now, right? And I just kept rowing through it. He goes, what the hell are you doing? I says, you know, I won't say his name. I said, you know, I think you're kind of an asshole. And I said, and I don't really like you. And I said, and I just don't feel like we're going to get along all day. So I'm going to take you back to your car. You can go to town. I'm sure you can get a guide for the day. But I just don't want to spend the day with you. I was very polite. I was not an ass to him. I just wasn't going to be treated like a lackey all day. And so, but in 45 years, that's the only human being I was impaled hooked, not with dry fly hooks, steelhead and salmon hooks, 14 times. I had one stuck through my face, got a cyst out of it. I've had everything possible. I've had guys.
That scar is?
Yeah.
No shit.
I've had guys leave, get out. I said, no, I had a guy get out of the, I mean, you name it, fall out of the boat. If you get out of the boat, you know, check the anchor because I'm upstream with somebody else. Come back to the boat a half hour later. There's no boat. 2 hours to find my boat. Walking downstream. And he goes, oh, man, when you said that, I thought about it. And I said, didn't register. And he's a guy, one of my favorite customers.
Yeah.
I said, wasn't that big a deal. We just jumped over. It wasn't 2 hours. I told him it's going to take us 2 hours. But at any rate, I mean, I really never did. And that goes to the expectations too,
yeah.
Right? And so you know, there's, and somebody wrote in and said, say something, what about the things the clients do right? And that's a good point. And I will tell you, whoever you are that said that, we've talked about this on this show, on this podcast before, about fireable offenses. And one of them, and I think we talked about it, if I, my guides all get a, they get a dad talk in the spring. Nowadays, Johnny gives it. He's much more intimidating nowadays.
Mean guy.
Yeah, he's got to be kind of a, but I tell everybody, it's always been the same. You make your customers one person at a time, and your guide base, if you're worth a shit in the guide business, you have a 95% return. And a lot of places in the country, there's just what I call shop vultures. They just sit around, you know, guides that sit around waiting for a trip. They don't give a shit. You know, they got lots of work. And they're not worried about developing a client base.
Right.
And there was a point when the pharmaceutical companies came into our business 25 years ago, maybe. Maybe a little more than that. And I told my guides, I says, you know, this is it. They're great tippers, huge tippers, yeah. Right? And they'll do 5 boats. And if somebody doesn't show, they don't care because it was farm money. And I told the guys, I says, you know, I think this is bad. I don't think you guys should do this. I can't tell you not to take these trips. I said, but these docs are never coming back to us. They're on a free ride, right?
Yep.
I think one doc out of that one group that we had forever, he came back, but mostly it was just, you know, they're just out to have fun, right? And they're not really into it too much. And I said, this isn't good for you because you should be building your client base. Mm-hmm. You know, you should be sending out thank yous, and you should do more than just sit on your ass and wait for somebody to fill your seat for you. And so a great guide will have, I mean, you look at Scotty Hall or Johnny or hell, at this point, almost everybody on the staff, they get requests. I mean, yeah. That's how you get... The end of the year, we look at these and we tell it, you know, you had 2 requests for next year. You're probably on a short list of being here.
Right.
And then you've got a Scotty with about 100%.
Yes.
And Johnny about 100%, and Jordan and Hunt.
Oh,
I mean,
my God.
They're just like boom, boom, boom. And they want to go because what makes a great guide is they understand they got control over 3 things. Their car, their boat, and them. Yeah. Them being their equipment, everything,
that attitude.
Clean lunch, clean car, clean everything. Your attitude is 100% of it because nobody can make the fish bite. I don't give a shit who you are. I don't care if you're in the salt water, in the fresh water, if you're fishing bait. I don't care. I mean, I fish bait all my life. I got tons of friends that fish, you know, that guided steelhead bait fish. They have bad days too. And so you can't really... You really can't. That's not what it's supposed to be about. You know, it's supposed to be about setting the expectation at the beginning of the day. You know, we always ask everybody, what do you want? Even on our questionnaire, when you call the shop, you'll be asked, what are your expectations? What do you want to do?
Yeah. What kind of fishing do you want to do?
Do you want to work on streamers, nymphs, dries? You don't give a shit. You just want to float the river and throw whatever. We'll meet your expectations, but...
The one you can't do is when people say,
I just want to catch a bunch of fish. And so do I.
Yeah.
Trust me, the guy needs that. They're living vicariously through you. Your ego, your drive to keep being great at this is that you successfully got someone else into a fish. Mm-hmm. Anybody can go out, not anybody, but a skilled angler can go out to the guy who said, say something good about the clients. I missed that point when I was saying about the guides. There's a rule here. When I said that we have our pep talk in the spring and we explain to the guides, in particular, the third-year guides, when their wheels can go the wrong direction. But we explain to them that these are all my customers. You work for me. My name's on the sign. And if I hear anything, any excuse, in particular, the one that I hate more than anything on earth, I hear it constantly. I've never heard it, well, from one of my guides. I did one. He's long gone. He was gone that day. But it's, and it's a very common term in our industry. And it goes back to not being a, you're a piece of shit guide when you say this. And it's when they say, and I leave the window open in front a lot. So I can Gladys Kravitz that shit. I don't know if y'all aren't, you know, if you weren't, didn't watch TV in the 60s, it's called Bewitched. And there was this busybody chick on there that was Gladys Kravitz. And, you know, and she would always be just checking on the Bewitched chick. And, but I left that window. I always, and I want to hear when people are talking out there. And I tell every guide so they aren't surprised if they do get fired. If I ever hear the words, if I only had talent in my boat. If I hear that come out of one of my guides' mouths, they are fired on the spot. And it ain't a blindside because you got told. And it's no. And if you're participating with other guides, you're probably going to get fired too. Not my guides hanging out. I can't fire other people's guides. But if I hear it, because you sign up to teach people to fish.
Right.
This isn't Russia. Nobody signed your ass up to be in that boat. And so you understand that you have control over. Ray Schmidt's the one that told me that the first time. Ray was a guide forever, spectacular guide. Ran one of the best businesses I've ever seen in my life. And still, I mean, he's just one of those guys, right? He wouldn't fish longer. He's where I also got the, that we don't exceed, that we don't do the long days. We won't do a 10-hour day. You got 8 hours, that's enough for both of you, right? And he's the one who said to me, you know, if you can't have fun in 8 hours, you probably can't have fun.
You're not going to have fun in 10.
You are. You're just going to grind and do right. more stuff wrong. Yep. And so the guide understanding that their job is to be control themselves, their equipment, and that's it, right?
Yep.
You know, from your boat, your car, your lunch, and all that stuff. And so they, and we're going to do another one of these with two really great guides, Scotty and Johnny, because I think, in particular, Scotty, because Scotty's been doing it for probably, he's 60, probably 40 years.
He's the epitome of a true professional.
Unbelievable. He never refers to his clients. He says, these are my friends.
Yeah.
Always. Yeah. And he's so
every time
polite.
I've had, you know, dinner over his trailer, he goes, hey, let me introduce you to my friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's always, and he means it, right?
Truly. Yeah.
But there's a person that's in the guide world, it's that where you realize you're trying to get a repeat business because, again, we're going to get to the guy who said, say something nice about the clients. and I just did. I enjoyed, other than that one guy, I mean, if you talk about 40 years and hundreds of days a year on that, it's a lot of customers not to have.
Yeah.
And I mean, I've been hooked. I've had, you name it. I've had it, had people go hypothermic on me and just, I mean, and just zone out and create anything on the earth. That's not, that's just part of the light. You're out there. And so you control the elements that you can, and then you're polite. It's like if you've ever seen the movie Roadhouse, when Patrick Swayze says, I'm the cooler and you're the bouncer. Be nice. How are we going to know when you're not to be nice? He says, I'll tell you.
Yeah,
yeah.
I know.
You know, and take out the trash. But it's just a funny line, but it has nothing to do with this. And so the expectations are met or set in the beginning, right? And then you just simply do your best. And as far as the client, when you like said, saying something nice, and I recall less than a, I don't know, maybe a dozen in the 20-some years we've been an outfitter, about 20 years we've been outfitting. My first few years here, we didn't outfit because it was just, I don't know, I just didn't want to, I didn't think we needed to do it yet. So, but I don't think we've had 12. There are times when guides come, and you have to know when you're a match for someone.
Right.
You need to know. I mean, there's a reason there's a 50% divorce rate in this country, or 60.
Yeah.
You know, you think you're in love and a week, 10 days later, well, me, but for others, you know, 10 years later, you're like, holy shit, this isn't cool. And so you get in a boat with somebody and, you know, you get hooked once or twice or, you know, shit goes wrong. It just winds up, you know, weather's bad, whatever it is. Expectations aren't being met. And at the end of the day, you say to yourself, I probably shouldn't be with this person.
Right. And it's easy to get on well when you're catching fish.
Oh, yeah.
And it's sunny and whatever.
Yeah. And even if it is, there's days even when it's that. It's just not your cup of tea. That person, and that's why there's 12, 14 more of them you can go, yeah, you know, and say, listen, maybe this is a better, I've had to have that conversation with the client. Listen, I think you'd be a better match with this person.
Well, that's what you and Johnny told, you know, myself and everybody else who started working in the shop. It's like when you book trips for people, you're not mm-hmm. just booking a trip. You're trying to suss out their personality and their expectations and then put them with the guide.
And that's why we do another Ray Schmidt thing. I asked him about the whole guide. I mean, Johnny's head guide, right? But we don't have this pecking order. Just because you were here, I think it's the worst thing you can do in a guide staff is say, well, this is senior guide. Well, that might mean he's the worst one in there. He's just been there the longest.
Yeah,
he may be burnt out and tired and pissed off with the world and, you know, who knows what. He might be the greatest thing on earth, like just like Scotty and John. I mean, Scotty's, he's been guiding forever. Just he's got that perfect attitude for it. But we flesh that out. Why when you call and they ask, we say, well, what's your expectations? You know, we had this group of three just great guys. They were great, but there's not enough mustard in the ballpark for those three. I mean, these son of bitches, they're like, we're going to go. And he comes in, the one, and they're all big guys, right? They come in, they go, this was Johnny's first or second year guiding. He is full of piss and vinegar. He's ready to roll. And then he goes, we don't need that lunch shit. And I go, I looked at that guy and he was cockier than a banty rooster, boy. And I said, I have just the guy for you. Yeah. And I said, I guarantee you. And there's three of them and it's a foot one where they're walk wading. And I says, I got just the guy for you. So Johnny gets a hold of him. He says, I'll pick you up at 5:30 in the morning. And this is Johnny's dream come true, right? Because he gets, and so they do away things back a long time ago. So there's not a lot of traffic, you know, even in the walk water, there's not that much. At 7 o'clock, I think it was, they're like, these guys can't move. They're coming from California. They're sea level. They're up here. It's like 90 degrees. And they're like, we probably should get me. Oh, no, we got to wait for the spinnerfall. And the caddis are going to show up. And then we can go right till dark, man. And he drives them right till dark. And they've already set the gauntlet down that they're like, you know, badder than, you know, the Hulk. And so they come dragging in the next morning. And the guy's funny. One or two of them still fish with Johnny. But they're like, dude. And it was the guy who gave me this, you know, the line. And he says, hey, I talked to him. Yeah. Goes, you know, about what I, you know, when I said that we don't need that lunch and shit like that, he goes, you got to tell Johnny we got dinner plans at like 5. I goes, what is that guy? I go, he's a machine. And he goes, oh my God, I thought we were going to die. And he says, I'll run up and get water and stuff. Don't worry. Just keep fishing. He just slept and ran him. So your expectations are your expectations. And that's also why Johnny is always the problem child. That's why we stopped the longer days, because Johnny would come in on a 12-hour day, get the right people, and everybody else is coming in on a normal day, 8 hours. And that's when I heard Ray Schmidt's voice in my mind saying, he had two of them. I said, how do you do your head guide thing? And I guided about the same time Ray had, and we had the same kind of staff. So he goes, you know, I'm the head guide. And he says, I don't buy into all that. He says, I'm the head guide. I make sure they go with the right person. And then I heard him say, if you can't have fun in 8, you can't have fun at all. And you just can't. And usually, there, you know, it's not true in some respects, but if you can say, if you've got that day going and it's like the greatest thing on earth and you want to stay, but when you have a staff, not everybody's having that great day.
Right.
You know, and so you can't have one person coming in on a 6-hour day and one coming in on a 10-hour day and blah, blah, blah. And so you just kind of make it so it works out. And, you know, and that when you get those rules and then you finally, and then you, actually do try to flesh out that person's day and say, okay, what's your skill level? How do you like to fish? Would you like to do that all day, even if it's, you know, you can catch more fish doing the, you know, bobber down the river thing? And you usually, because they have to answer it, you usually get a pretty clean expectation and it's easier.
Yeah.
And the people that are, you know, that have high expectations, I have no problem telling them that that's going to be a hard thing to, you know. Yeah. Every day's a day. Every day's different.
Every day's different.
And every day's that day,
right?
It's not yesterday. It's today. You know, you just got a north wind coming on you. You're going to have a hard day. It's going to push hard at you. Your cast is going to be tough. It's coming upriver all day. There's going to be, things are tough. So, and the positive of the customer, there's two types of customers, essentially. I wish I could, whoever it was that wrote in, it's a good question, and it's a fair question to say, it, because I personally think we have about a 90, between 5 and 8% rebook. Mm-hmm. That's pretty unbelievable, yeah. Right? And that says volumes about the fact that the guides, it has to do with catching fish, but it has more to do with they have the right attitude.
It's a holistic experience, right?
And by the way, say something bad about my client or yell at one, a client. If you raise your voice in my boat, if I hear it, you will get fired.
Yep.
You will get fired. It's just not, my name's on it. It's not their name. It's my name. Right. I'm not building their life. I'm building my life.
Yep.
And so, but the client that, there's two types of clients. There's clients that need guides in the respect, and understand that most guided clients fish less than 15 days a year.
Right.
And that's all over the world. And that's pushing that envelope. A lot of our customers might get a 6-day window in their whole year.
This is their fishing trip.
This is their fish. And a lot of places are like that. And then there's the guy like Rick, who is so good, has boats, but realizes they have to, somebody has to row when you have your own boat.
Well, that's the shitty part about having your own boat.
Yeah, somebody has to row the boat.
Better to and have a friend with a boat.
Rick, the guys like that, they are just so good that they want that whole day fishing. And they have a friend with them, their spouse with them. I got it. And that's another serious thing about considering when you are starting a spouse or girlfriend. They're in the front of the boat, you shut up. That makes a good customer. You, guys who try to micromanage, it's never a woman. I've never seen a woman do that. Guys who try to micromanage or help the guide, that's a bad thing. Don't do that. Just
sit down and shut up.
Well, you don't have to
sit down and shut up,
but you do need to know that you've hired a guide for a reason, and they probably are better teachers. Even if you're a better angler than the guide, you're generally not the best teacher for your spouse or girlfriend. I mean,
so my dad told me from a young age, never teach your girlfriend or wife to ski because it won't last long.
I was a ski instructor. All of us are ski. I think our entire staff's a ski instructor.
Yeah, pretty much.
I did it when I was a kid. I taught my first wife to cat. I was trying to teach her. I was so frustrated. I did schools all over the place. I never was frustrated with anybody in my life. Got my wife, and I'm like, you know, do this. And she's actually doing it pretty good.
But it's not perfect.
It's not doing, for whatever reason, I think because you share body fluids or something, you think they should somehow know everything you know. But kissing, whatever.
Right.
So, but anyway, I had my buddy Tom come over. I said, Tom, can you work with her for 10 minutes? And he goes, yeah. So I left for 20, and I come back, and she's got a perfect cast. I mean, he's a great instructor. And I said, how come you couldn't do that for me? And she goes, because you are an asshole. I mean, exactly. It was that quick. And I thought, man, I hope I've never done that on the river to someone. I know. It's just different when it's your girlfriend.
It's an interesting dynamic. It's a lot. I was just talking to this with my mom and brother, but it's a lot easier to take advice from yeah. someone you're not super familiar with.
Exactly.
Like, we're all much nicer to our friends than our yeah. family most of the time. Because this familiarity, it's I don't know, it's not dynamic.
So from the client though, from make for the good things that clients do, clients that have, because he said, say something good. And the good thing is if they know why they're there and they understand that every day, just because you pay money to go fishing, I've done it hundreds and hundreds of times, been all over the world, somebody's guiding me fishing.
Yep.
And ask pertinent questions and believe the answer.
Yeah,
that's
listen.
A really yeah. good one. If you just believe the answer and then understand that back to that original thing you said, guide, not God. I think it's a cocky thing that to say that to a client would get your ass fired.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like that. And you just, you know, but as the client, if you can't take criticism, positive criticism, like, you know, positive advice, just you're going to have a hard day if you're asking for help. I mean, yeah. there's a way for that to happen. And I think that tone, though, is usually set by the guide and their answers and just trying to work through it and work through it and work through it. And if, you know, at the end of the day, it's just what you get out of it, what you usually get out what you ask for,
yeah.
right? And so, but if your expectations are too high, and like I said, I've had so few even moderately bad customers. I mean, that's all my staffs, right? All forever and ever. You'll get the one day, 2 days a year where somebody comes in and says, no, I don't think we're a good match. But that's the difference between a professional crew and just a bunch of people that don't give a shit. They're just making money in the summer.
Right.
And, you know, and I saw it more in the old days when it was all of us were ski bums. And in the old days, in the 70s, people, in the 80s, people realized if you can't see the trend, you're not looking. But the guiding blew up in the West. It blows up wherever there's a great ski bum,
yeah.
right? And ski bums realized that they could either pound nails all summer or shovel water. And you watched ski bums come in, and they really weren't that concerned about their job. They just wanted to get enough money so they could get the ski ticket, stay drunk all winter, and pay for the room and board.
Yep.
Right. And so the whole professional guide thing, that came later. They weeded themselves out.
Yeah.
And then the guys that really dug it, and gals that really weren't many back then, a handful of gals that were guiding. But the ones that really took it to heart, Rick Welly just comes to mind instantly, a guy who guided for 40, 50 years. Scotty Hall, just the right attitude. Yep. And it fleshes out. And when you get those people, they set the expectation for you. They tell you that you're going to go this long. We're going to do the best we can. We're going to do everything we can. But remember when you're thinking about that, I can see how it could sound like it's always negative shit on the client side. But if everybody's trying, everybody's trying.
Right.
Right. And if at the end of the day, I've told lots of anglers, you know, if you can pick up one thing, because in particular, the person that fishes 5 days a week, or a year, I mean, has no expectations.
Right.
Yeah, they'd all like to catch lots of fish, but for them, that might mean five fish and they've had a great day. For you, it might mean 40 fish and you've had a nice day, right?
Yeah.
But if you can set that expectation there and the guide keeps it, and when he, you know, there's a lodge down south that says we catch, they put it on the side of the side of their trucks, and they got a billboard that they caught 15,692 pounds of fish last year. That's setting expectations pretty high.
Expectations are huge. In terms of like what clients can do right. Now I've never guided. I ski instruct, which there's a lot of parallels to.
They're all the same.
And
anything. Golf yeah, lessons.
Any, yeah, it's they're all very similar. I think voicing your expectations, but then also I think one of the coolest things people can do is under promise and over deliver. Like, instead of coming in and, you know, immediately giving everyone your fishing resume, if you come in and just, you know, like, hey, these are the things I kind of want to learn, be humble mm-hmm. about it. And then, you know, like you said, when a guide tells you something, listen and like try to implement that. Cause like our guides, I fish with all of them. They're all really talented anglers and they're mm-hmm. really good at what they do. That's why they're here. So yeah. I think that's, you know, you could take it as the inverse of what bad clients do, but what a good client does, I think, is listen well and try to implement advice. And the other thing that's huge, especially in ski instructing, is attitude. Just like have a good attitude. We're out here to have fun. It's supposed to be, you know, you're paying a lot of money. Oftentimes it's your vacation away from your job, whatever. It's supposed to be fun. So try to have a good day.
I mean, yeah, the expectations come with, it's a natural world, right? Nobody can control weather and stuff like that. Right. Nobody can control the fish bite. I mean, if it's a bad day, you throw a freaking night crawler out there and you're not going to catch anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, one of the best gear anglers I've ever known in my life is Bill Erdman. And he and I fished together, and he's a gear guy. And as good as you can get. And we've been skunked.
Yeah.
And if we'd have had a bag of night crawlers, I guarantee I'd have thrown some bitches out there. I would have tried anything,
yeah.
Right? But I just thought of another one when we're, as far as expectations, when you said resume. The worst five words that a guide can hear in his life is, I just got back from Alaska.
No, I was thinking the same thing.
Do not compare. If you're in Michigan fishing, it's not like here.
Right.
And this isn't like Alaska. And your expectations have to be real too. But again, a good outfitter will flesh that out and get that taken care of before it even gets to be a point. Mm-hmm. Right. And then you just fix it. You just say, okay, well, a great day here is 10 fish a day.
Yeah.
You know, that's a great day. And if that's not really what you're after, you know, maybe run over to the Bighorn. And, you know, they have a better fish count.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, even at the Moe, it'd be hard to do that with too. I mean, if you're for dry fly fishing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, we're not talking Lando here. We're talking the real Moe. But it's
you want to go catch a bunch of fish, go nymph beads at Lando.
Well, that shouldn't be legal.
I agree.
I mean, you could do the same thing here if you want to nymph beads all day. But the point is that you just set, if you can have a, you know, I hear this shit about saltwater guides daily. I mean, yeller, you know, always yelling. One of the guys wrote in something on one of the comments, just, I think it was last night I read it. And, you know, I'm not going to pay $800 to get yelled at and just bring the guide his lunch. And he was just ranting about something. And we're talking in one of the comments of one of the videos. I don't know which one it was. And so, but I said, even that, you can curtail a lot of that by asking the guide, are you a yeller? Because tell me now.
Yep.
You know? And, you know, they get excited too. Everybody gets excited. And if I had Rob Forsyth yelling at me in the butt front of the boat, I'd be scared too.
I'd be a little scared. Yeah.
But I don't think he's a yeller.
Big man.
No. But, you know, it's the same with everything on earth, though. I mean, my God, no matter what you do, you take a golf lesson or a ski lesson, you know, you got good guides and bad guides. It's just what it is. Cull them out. Don't go back to that place. If you had a bad experience, if you have a bad experience, go tell your outfitter immediately. If the outfitter doesn't do anything about it, well, you just got your answer.
Then change outfitters.
Yes. Yeah. Just, it's, like I said, it's not Russia. You can do whatever you want.
It is a free country.
And the guides, and from our perspective, we tell the guides that you chose this job. You need to understand you're here for my clients. And I never say your client. I don't believe they have a client. You know, if you're an outfitter, that's one thing. But if you're guiding for someone, you are a representative of that company. Mm-hmm. And we pound that into our guides, because when they leave, they're eventually going to go out and be an outfitter too. You want them to go out and have the same work ethic and the same customer service mentality, and out they go and they're just better their whole life's better.
Yeah.
I had a boss once when I was welding galvanized pipe. I got a welding school. I'm second job. I'm working galvanized pipe indoors without ventilation. One of the most caustic things on earth. My first 3 weeks, I couldn't get a breath from the rest of my life. Allie, shut up.
Is that why you are the way that you
are? Yeah, that's part of it. Yeah, you know, okay. And 28 concussions. But at any rate, this guy was so cool. And he said to me, this isn't a career job. When you leave, I just hope you're better for being here. It was a really, I took it. I mean, I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. And no, he was a kind of a father figure to everybody anyway. He's a big
profound
dude that was just kind of, you know, and you could have made it a career, I suppose, for about 6 years and you'd be dead. I still wonder. But, and that's the same thing that Johnny and I try with these guys. I mean, reeling Hunter in for the last 4 years hasn't been easy. The kid's pure colt. Are you kidding me? Pure cowboy.
Fishy dude.
He's fishy as shit. But he's good. He is fishier than hell, though.
He is fishier than hell. It's a great tire, too. He's working with Echo now, which is cool.
Is he?
You see that? Yeah.
Yeah.
He's on their staff.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Good for him. Okay, so what are other things clients can do before? Like, let's say they're going to come book a trip with us. What are things they can do before that trip that might lead to a more successful day? Not in terms of fish count, but in terms of an enjoyable experience that they want to, you know, they want to come back.
I mean, I think it just really not much. All you can do is plan accordingly. I mean, I think the only thing you can do, I mean, I've been, you know, flown into the Dean and not been able to fish for most of it.
Right.
What do you do? Do you get pissed off at the outfitter and the guy? There's nothing. I've been,
no, it's all about attitude.
Every place we've been shut out 1 or 2 days out of a week. Or, I mean, shit, when we were in Chile, that wind day, I mean, oh my God, half hangover, but half wind.
But I'm going to go like 80% hangover.
No, I had a pretty good attitude until it got there.
You did have it. You did. You had a great attitude.
But I mean, planning for that trip, it's no different than any other trip on earth. If you're going to, my ex-wife and the kids went to Hawaii or somewhere a year or two ago in the rain the whole freaking week. You know, they sat in the bar and had a great time.
Yeah,
and they went to their room and they played games and cards and did stuff, right? And just hung out. And it is what it is. It's what you make of it. So if you're, expectations are on for making a trip better, make sure, I mean, how many times do we see nobody buys their clothes at a destination fly shop? Mm-hmm. And yet we've got $100,000 worth of rain jackets and rain pants and all that. People come to the West and they show up for their day and they got nothing. And it's raining and it's blowing and it's ugly. And by the way, you don't get to cancel trips on account of bad weather.
Right.
You just can't do that. I mean, and so have a checklist, you know, ask for it, ask what's needed out of that trip. And make sure when you get here, nobody wants to spend $400 on a raincoat, uh-uh. You know? And I mean, if you're hell, half the people that really need them don't want to, but if you've probably got one at home. You've got something at home you could bring.
Bring it.
And
it rains in Montana.
Yeah, and it gets cold, and you know it can come and go. It could be 90, and it can be 60 later, and it's windy. And you know, prepare for that stuff. Ask those questions in advance. But other than that, you're putting your fun life in the hands of the guide.
Yeah.
And that's what your expectation should be. That guide's got a nice clean car and a nice clean boat and a damn good lunch and knows what he's talking about.
Right.
Right. As my dad told me in my first trip when I was 15 years old, when I was doing my first trip, and so I've talked about that before, I was guiding a kid that was 13 and his dad was with another guy, with Tom. And I said, what do I do? He goes, You don't fish, first of all. And he says, you just teach them how to fish. And, you know, make sure you pack a good lunch. They'll forget a shit day fishing, but they'll never forget a shitty lunch. Yeah. Well, there's no lunch. He goes, well, you're halfway home. And we killed it. And that was my first trip. We got 13 brook trout and rainbow, brown, whatever. Just me and the kid. And the dad got shut out. And the next year, my first, because I could drive the next year. The next year, I took that kid again and his dad. Went to the exact same spot. Brought a lunch this time.
Nice.
And it's probably pretty shitty. I probably had my mom make it. It's probably pretty great. But yeah. And so it started my whole career by, but if you think about what he said was, he's just saying, be nice and be professional. So he's telling you.
Yeah. One thing that I was thinking that, you know, a client could do before coming out here, something that Chris mentioned, and I remember it was my first year working here, pretty early on. And somebody showed up here with no food. And it was, you know, early spring. And there's a couple of restaurants around here, not many. Oh. For those of you who don't know, we're 42 miles from civilization. There's in peak.
We got a few restaurants close.
But there's a couple, but early season, nothing's open.
Yeah, no.
And so, you know, they come out and they're like, all right, so where's the nearest restaurant? I'm like, well, West Yellowstone.
34 miles.
34 miles, or, and it's 42 miles. And they're like, what? What about a grocery store? I remember Chris going, how do you go somewhere and not look at it on maps and get your surroundings? And, you know, to him, that was really obvious because Chris is the master of Onyx, Google Maps, whatever. Well, I mean, me being a, at that time, recently reformed city guy, was like, I could see how somebody would come out here and just assume that there's stuff around, right?
It's kind of like gas. Yeah. You know, we had gas pumps when I first bought this place.
Right.
The most I ever made on a gallon of gas in my life was 15 cents. Now, I am at the very closest at that point, 34 miles to gas in the mountains, where if you break down out here, there are no streetlights, just in case you're wondering. And so, and people would come in and they would say, whatever it was, $2.50 a gallon. Jesus, you got to make all your money. I'm thinking to myself, your dumb ass is in an oasis. You have, and here is, you come across this gas pump and you need gas and your ass is going to start bitching at me.
About the called supply and demand.
And I'm making a whole 15 cents, you know, a gallon. And so you can do the math on that. And people would say, I mean, this is how they would be, these would be bad clients. Yes. They would say, okay, I'll just, how far is it to West Yellowstone? I'd say 34 miles. Okay, I'll just get a couple bucks worth. I'd say, maybe you should get $5 worth. What do you mean? I said, well, your cheap ass is going to get there and realize that they're 50 cents more a gallon than I am. You're going to want to drive back. And then I shut the pumps off so that I couldn't take it another day. When I bought this place, they were all brand new pumps and tanks. They put almost $50,000 into all that stuff when I bought it. I don't think I made it a season.
Ripped them out.
Some guy, they're always rude. They would come in. I don't know how people are just rude and guessed it. Guy came in and he told Bill Edelman, who worked here, the nicest guy on earth, said, clear your effing pump. And I walked across that room. I said, what'd you just say? He said, I said, clear your effing pump. I said, pump doesn't work for you. He said, what do you mean? I said, you are an asshole. And he walked out. He goes, I'll never come back again. I said, I don't think you get the point. You don't have a choice. And I looked at Bill. I said, shut him off. He goes, what do you mean? I said, shut them off. We just quit.
That was it.
I went out and put, done. I just put no gas. I was done. People around here are telling me that I had to keep them because it was a community services. They're brand new. I'll dig them up. You can put them in your yard. I don't give a shit. I will not deal with rude people. It just is irritating as
life's too short to spend.
You can only hit so many people. I mean, it's just like, who does that?
No, life's too short to spend that much time around assholes.
Or being rude. I mean, because being rude, then it's just, now it's, you're both that way.
Yeah.
Now everybody's going south, right? Mm-hmm. Kind of like you and that gal on that Apple computer.
I thought it was pretty nice. Well,
he wasn't that nice. I was just telling him, he wasn't that nice.
I've been, actually, I thought I was pretty kind.
Yeah, you weren't terrible.
Yeah, I wasn't terrible.
It's a better podcast, basically.
I did work, I did spend a few months on a inbound line for a tech company. So when, you know, you go on the sales page, it says contact sales. I worked the 5 a.m. to 1 p.m. shift. You're only supposed to get that once a week. I worked it 4 to 5 days a week so Matt and I could go fishing in Washington. So I'd pick him up and I'd check out a little early. But after working that, I decided I'm never going to curse at someone on the phone ever again. And you know what my favorite lines were? This is a total tangent, but my favorite lines when somebody would get really mad and just start screaming about me at, or, you know, our product's too expensive, whatever. I would say, ma'am, I do not appreciate the tone of your voice. And it either calmed them down or they just went ballistic. And both were kind of enjoyable for me. So
you have issues.
Okay, so another thing I was thinking that, you know, if you're watching this, you're newer to fishing, you're booking a trip with us, you're going to come out. You know, guides, like Kelly said, they fish through you. Now, they can get almost anyone on to fish. It's a very low kind of barrier to entry to get in a boat with a guide and be able to catch fish. Now, I think one thing that I've heard from a lot of guides is as long as the client can get it past the oar. And that's a casting thing, if you don't understand that. It's if you can get that, you know, bobber rig, whatever you're fishing, beyond, how far do you think an oar sticks out from a boat? 8 feet? 10 feet? If you can get it 10 feet away from the boat with a water load or whatever, you're in the game. And it's hard to get people on fish if it's not past that oar. So, you know, even go out once into a public park or whatever, borrow a buddy's fly rod, something. If you can get it past that oar, especially with all of our guides, you're in the game.
But that helps. I think that's for a little bit more advanced. But it made me think of something when you said get it past the oar. It made me think of two things. I had a client here once who spent her career on the bighorn, and she caught a ton of big fish. I mean a ton. And she gets here, and she's going with Skinny, Steve Mock, who's as fishy as a human can get, right? He's just one of those cats. And she pulled me out on the porch, and she says, I need you to do something for me. I said, what's that? She goes, and I've known her. She's a good friend of Mike's. She's been fishing on the bighorn since it opened, I think. And yeah, there's all these pictures of her holding these huge fish. And she said, you need to tell Skinny that I don't know how to cast. I said, why? What's the joke? Because thinking she's setting Skinny up to mess, like, you know, she's got a crush on Skinny or something and wants her wants attention. I said, what are you talking about? She goes, no, I'm serious. I said, what do you mean you're serious? I said, I've seen hundreds of your pictures. She goes, you know, I think she fished with Jimmy Stretch. And I said, she goes, he just told me, just throw it offside and I'll get it the rest done. I'll get it done for you. Because all she wanted to do was catch fish. She never cared. And you're talking about somebody that fished for probably 20 years.
Yeah.
A lot.
Just never wanted to get any better.
Just, she wanted to catch fish. She didn't give a shit. And that's an expectation. That's an easy one to meet.
Right.
And I said, are you serious? She goes, yeah. And I said, there's no way that this is true. She goes, I swear to God. So I tell Skinny. He goes, great. She came back. She goes, casting's a blast. I said, you catch fish? She goes, we killed it. But I can cast. Her expectations was zero. Skinny taught her to cast. She's now like a whole, and she won't fish. Now she won't fish a bobber versus a drone. That's where that was coming from. That was my first part of it. That she had this epiphany on the river that there's more to it than just, down goes the bobber. But that's another one, an expectation-wise, because so much of fishing has become bobber chasing or in a boat. I mean, that's how you're going to put numbers in a boat.
Yeah.
You are going to catch fish. You can dry dropper. You can bobber. You can do whatever you want. But it, but for your expectation is to go out and fish a dry fly, you know, and you would just want to fish dry, and you equate the good days of a bobber day to a dry day, you'll be sorely disappointed.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just no way to make, some things are just easier than others to catch fish. And so when you set your expectations, say, you know, if I can get a half dozen fish on a dry, I'm happy. And then there's really not, I mean, we've spoke about three guides on here. Mikey Syme, Rick Welly is one of the other ones. And there's a couple, and Rowan, we talked about him. And these, to me, and there's lots more. There's just a couple that we brought off the cuff because you saw the story about Rowan the other day. And they're just some of a lot of these cats that are really exceptional. JT France, like
yeah.
they spend so much time just dry fly, right? And their expectations, and they're talking about, especially when you go back, some of those guys, they've been here before any of this boom started, mm-hmm. right? They were here when there were no boats, right, to speak. I mean, maybe six or eight. And so, and their clients have come in and share with me that they've had spectacular days and share that they caught six fish. Expectation met, right? You had a day, they're fishing size 18 dry flies on the Madison River, and they're catching, and they catch really good fish too. And so if your expectation is just, I mean, it has to be kind of like towards your gear too. So
yeah.
That's another thing you could, when you say I'm going to fish, you bring somebody up from the Henry's Fork and they want to fish dries, and they catch six fish when they're used to catching one or two a day, they're going to be really happy. I guided Mike Lawson one time, and well, I'm going to guide him. Yeah, kind of. I was rowing, but we were shooting a TV show, and Mike got his biggest rainbow. He got a 21 rainbow out of here on a dry, and he was just, this is one of the best anglers that's ever walked the planet. So Mitch was giddy. He was like, he never quit beaming. We caught it just below, we caught it right above Standard Creek.
Yep.
Right below John and Carol's house there. And I mean to tell you, the guy didn't fish for 5 minutes. He just sat there going, that was the best. Oh, that was the greatest. And no, here's another thing. This is when you know you're on the same wavelength. He couldn't, did you see that take? Did you see that fish? Do you see how, oh God, it was so, he was so.
It was like that, was like the one we talked about the other day, the brown trout you got to eat on the left below Windy. It was just the coolest thing.
Greatest eat.
Yeah.
And never once did we, I don't even know how many fish we caught the rest of the day. I mean, and
I do, because I had to edit the footage.
No, I met with Mike.
Oh, gotcha.
And so it was like, your expectations for, if you're a certain level, there just seems to be levels. There's the total newbie that just couldn't be happier because they're there.
Yep.
There's a person that's kind of like exceeded that, and they're, you know, they're 5-10 years in, and they're a pretty hot shoe, and they tend to compare days to every place they've been. You know, they kind of have this, they categorize everything. And this day was okay, but I only got 10. And, you know, I got 14 over at this place. And you get
the pitch counters.
We got lots of those. Yeah. You know, Davey Watton's a pitcher. He's a clicker. He's fished on this. I fished with him. Every place I've ever fished with him. One of the best anglers in the world. I mean, guy invented half that dummy back there. I mean, and he's a clicker. And that makes you happy. That makes you happy. I don't give a shit. Don't bring it in my boat. Boombox and that are both going for a swim. Somebody texted me and said, you got to clarify this to my buddy because he listens to something. Got it. Hold on. I'll think of this because I said, I'm not going to forget this name. He says, my buddy listens to, got a boombox Alice in Chains, Crystal in Chains.
Alice in Chains. Seattle grunge band.
I answered, I have no idea what that means, but if you ask me, it's probably some grunge guy out of Seattle.
And I
says, well, that alone would make it a no brainer. It ain't happening. And I said, he's probably young and just, I said, but no boomboxes in the boat. Nobody wants to listen to that shit, no matter what it is. I mean, I'd be listening to Merle Haggard and you'd be over there going, hey, turn your shit off, right? Nobody wants to listen to anybody's stuff. They want to just put your freaking earbuds in and then you can be whatever your chains you want. But back to the expectation thing, I think a lot of that has to just, expectations need to be, you know, it amazed me when Andy was here and then I listened to him and I listened to a McGuane podcast afterward and they're talking about how bad the keys have got.
Yeah.
And how, I think it was McGuane that was doing his podcast. I'm not sure. It might have been one with John, Forth. I don't know. I watched all of those guys. He's got incredible people on his podcast. But there was this overwhelming thing about how the keys have gone south and they're, and your expectations have to be completely different.
Right.
I mean, I remember saying something to Andy about 100-pound tarp, and he goes, in the Keys? He goes, dude, that's a different world now. He says, that's a big time. Nicky said he never got 100. And he says, things have changed.
Yeah.
So I first went down to the Keys in the 90s, and your expectations were really, really high.
Right.
Right? You're going to jump one. You're going to do that. And, but, so that's, again, you just don't use the six, I said five, don't use the I just got back from Alaska thought process. Don't ever, don't compare anything to another thing.
Yeah. Every day's new.
The Henry's Fork is not the Madison. The Madison's not the Manistee, you know. None of them are the Kwajak. It's like everything's different.
Well, when I look back on like my favorite days I've ever had fishing, it's not about the fish.
It's about the freaking mermaids.
No, it's I don't know. It's just about quality time with, you know, with people you love.
But
or
that's different than being guided, though.
Yeah, that's different than being guided. But even then, like, you know, I've been guided at couple of times, and like when I think about those days, I remember the guide way more than I remember the fishing, right? I'm like, man, I had a great time because so and so was awesome. You know?
To me, the thing I think kind of summon these things up is when I hear people walk in, and in particular women, when they walk, and I ask them, you know, because a lot of time, I mean, we get a lot of gals that come and fish solo or in, you know, pairs or whatever. And, but even if they're with their husband or whatever, and they say, or boyfriend, or, and I say, how'd you do? And they says, oh, we had a great time. The women are a lot more likely to just say, you know, they're going to shower you with the superlatives of what a beautiful day it was. And what you'll hear is, you know, oh, it was great. We saw a moose and we saw, you know, bear, whatever. And it's, we saw a herd of black bears up on the mountain.
Yeah.
And they say, well, how was fishing? And he says, oh, we got one. Or we didn't get any, but man, we had a blast.
We had a great day.
And so that's to me, I mean, you want to be a great guide, have a zero day and still have your customer come in and say that shit. Because real people will know you worked your ass off. You tried everything on the earth. They probably know if it was their fault or not. I mean, I had that one gal come in. Who was she with? She might have been with Danny. I can't remember. I said, oh, I didn't catch any. And he goes, says, well, I didn't land any. And Danny's, he's so polite, right? That, right? I think it was him because it seems like something he goes, well, let's just say my technique wasn't perfect. And he said she'd get to the side of the boat, pull it into the boat. But she had more fun than anybody on earth.
That's
right?
What's important at the end of the
and
day.
It, you know, she didn't really care one way or the other, but I don't know. This whole thing goes back to the beginning of time. I mean, from guide wise, it's just find somebody you enjoy, tell them what you want to do, and be happy with what happens. Yeah. I mean, I've been guided everywhere, everywhere. I listen to the guide. No, I don't. That's not true. If I know him, I usually tell him I'm doing what I want to do. Yeah. And but at the end of the day, when I told Miles,
yeah,
I'm going to do this. He goes, gave me that, and he says, great, you're on your own.
Well,
at the end of the day, we're on the day, right?
To be fair, not everyone's Kelly Gallup. Not everybody has fished as much as you have, is what I mean by that.
But that's true, but Miles is probably better than I am. But I didn't want to do what he does.
Right.
And at the end of the day, I was so happy to have been there with him, and I asked him things if he could, you know, are the fish here? Are they there? What's this? What have you ever done this? You ever done that? At the end of the day, I had a spectacular, didn't catch that many fish. We got quite a few, but not that many.
Yeah.
And
it was a hell of a day. Super fun.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
And the whole thing was, my expectations were, can I make them do something else? I probably would have caught a lot more fish if I'd done what Miles sold me to.
For sure.
Yeah.
Totally.
But it's,
we're hunting biggins, you know, and it's trying
not
to
about,
do it our way.
It's not about it. And I've had days where I go places. When I went to the Dean one time and I said, I don't care if I catch one, I'm going to fish a dry fly.
Yeah.
And it's late season, right? So I'm fishing dries. And if I don't get a fish all week, it's 10 days. I don't care. And, you know, and we did a podcast when they asked, what's your favorite? And I thought about this. And I got it the first night, by the way, the first night I could fish. And it was a good fish, too.
Sorry, what was the question on the podcast?
The question was, what's my favorite dry fly memory?
Gotcha.
And it, for sure, and I don't know how I forgot this. I think Mike might have called me and said, I think you forgot something. Because it was Mike Craig and I, and I was skating a dry fly. And I said, I got one. He goes, oh, I heard. I thought you got hit by a bear. And that fish changed my life. I mean, I was done. I mean, I don't think my sink dips got any use that hole for the next 3 weeks we were there. And so that one, actually, Jerry Dennis, I can't remember which book it's in. I think A Place on the Water. I don't remember. And Jerry Dennis wrote this story about it because they're doing this roast for me when I moved out here. But I was at a bar.
Trout Unlimited, is that what it was?
Yeah, it was a TU. Yeah. It was our local chapter. I'm moving out here, buying this place. And so they're roasting me. And Jerry always has one of those little spiral things in his pocket.
Yeah.
He's pulling it out. And he's talking to, you know, you're in the bar and who cares? You're drunk, right? You're concerned about you. And Jerry's over here going like this. Oh, yeah, really? And he's just kind of like this, like maybe he's doing a freaking grocery list or some shit,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so what it was, I just got back from there and I said, and I, at that point, I didn't have kids, I don't think. And I said, you know, I've had a couple beers. I says, you know, how was it? I says, people talk about having kids changing their lives. He goes, that's not shit. You see a 16-pound steelhead eat a dry fly, that'll change your pathetic mother life. And he goes, huh? What time he's writing this? So several years later, now I have two or three kids, and we're at the roast. I have three kids, and Jerry gets up in front of this entire town and goes, you know, I'd like to read you something from Kelly. And my wife at the time, Penny's sitting here, and he starts with that. And I can hear her head turning. It was like The Exorcist. Staring at me going like, okay, you're done. It's going to be a dry spell for a while. And so it's like, I said, I didn't have kids when I said it.
That didn't help much, did it?
Not at all.
Sleeping on the couch for a while.
Not even a little bit.
All right. Well, I think that's an awesome place to wrap up episode 14. Once again, go support our online business. Allows us to do these fun things. Great hats. Bunch of them are new in stock, so get them while supplies last. Yeah, that one's been around for a while. These ones are. We've got a bunch more. We had too many to put on the table. And we do limited runs of them, so they do sell out quick. So get them while you can. Got anything else to add?
No, that was fun.
Awesome.
I hope we covered everything. If that question was...
Well, we bounced around a little bit.
We bounced, but I think we got to the
tradition.
Germain facts.
Yeah.
How you get this done.
I'll come back next week. It will be fun. And yeah, Tuesdays, 10 a.m. Mountain Time.
Yep.
We'll see you next Tuesday. Thanks,
Hope you enjoyed it.